Hi, I'm Josh, and welcome to the Wild Nature Photography Podcast, the podcast that talks the art, the craft, and the made-up imagery of nature photography. It is the 5th of May, 2023, and this is podcast number 73. And the topic of this podcast is going to be AI imagery, which is a bit of a hot topic at the moment, and it's certainly topical for a whole bunch of reasons. There's a lot of talk out there about AI killing photography, and I just want to take a moment and talk about that from the perspective of a nature photographer. But just before I do that, a small housekeeping item. I have published the photograph of the month for May 2023, and it's one of the polar bear images that I made on my last expedition to Svalbard. This was the Svalbard Spring Light Expedition. This was an absolutely incredible encounter. I've made many images of this bear that I am really, really happy with. This is one of my favorites, so I'll put a link to it in the show notes. If you want to check it out, you can. I think that was about it in terms of housekeeping. Oh, one small other item. Canon Australia did announce yesterday in an email to me the pricing for the Australian pricing, that is, for the new Canon RF 100-300mm f2.8L lens. And it has come in at a little bit more than I thought it was going to. And I think Canon may have shot themselves a little bit in the foot on this. The price here in Australia is going to be $15,500, including GST. That is about 33% more than the US dollar MSRP, which is 9,500 USD. Now, I expected the lens to be more than the US dollar amount, that was for sure. But I think 33% is a bit of an ask on Canon's behalf, especially considering that these lenses come from Japan, and really we should be comparing the Australian dollar to the Japanese yen, not the Australian dollar to the US dollar. But anyway, that's the price. I'm not buying this lens. It's just a little bit too short for what I do most of the time. I did like it very much. The balance was fantastic. I did a whole podcast about it. You can go and check that out if you want to. But let's talk about the topic of the day, which is AI imagery. Now, AI imagery has really exploded onto the scene, if you like, in the last few months, perhaps the last 6 to 12 months especially. It's really, really come a long way. There's been a lot of talk about how these companies have trained their AI engines to produce these images, and I have no doubt that they've done the wrong thing and used people's photographs, maybe even my own, to help train their AI imagery, image-making computers, to make these photographs. Now, more and more of these photographs are starting to turn up on social media. Sometimes they are legitimately listed as AI photographs created with things such as Midjourney. Other times they're just presented as photography. And this is nothing new. There have been people, if you like, people in inverted commas, out there for years that have been deceiving other people with their photographs, whether because there have been images that have been created in computers in Photoshop, whether they're multi-image composites or heavily edited images, or images created in AI, it doesn't really matter. It's deceptive if the intent is to deceive the viewer and make them think that this is a real photograph. So I don't expect there to be much that is going to change in this area. I think we're going to see photographers, for lack of a better word, or people if you prefer, try and use AI imagery and pass it off as if it's their own creation. Now, the reason I say this is nothing new is we see this a lot in photographic competitions. It seems that there is almost no limit to what people will do in order to win a competition. And we saw this recently in the Sony competition where an AI edited image ended up winning. And the photographer called it out himself and has been heralded as a bit of a hero. I personally don't think that's the case. I think he knew exactly what he was doing when he did this and that it was a bit of a publicity stunt for him. But anyway, look, I don't want to get too involved into the discussion on the Sony competition. I just wanted to make the point that people out there have been attempting to deceive the viewer for years, whether they were using Photoshop, multi-image composite, or now AI imagery. I don't think it actually makes any difference how they got there. It's still a deceptive image. The worst part about this is when I see these images that are put out there as being factual, as actual representations of nature, then I find that very disingenuous. And I find that to be something that is frankly deceptive. And there's no reason for this other than to try and pump up the person who's doing it. So is AI imagery going to be the end of nature photography? Let's talk about that for a minute. My immediate feeling and response to this is absolutely not. And there's a number of reasons for this. The first one is nature photographers are nature photographers by default because they want to be outdoors in nature, not because we necessarily want to be sitting in front of a computer working on a polar bear photograph. We want to be out in nature. We want to be having experiences out there in the field. We want to be out in the air, whether it's hot air or cold air. We want to be feeling the wind on our face, the rustle of the grass. We want to feel and taste that rain, feel the wind on our face, all these sorts of things. And we want to have real life experiences with the wildlife that we encounter and photograph. That's a huge part of being a nature photographer. The actual camera part of it and capturing what we see out there in the field is, of course, important. But it's the experience of being out in the field first and foremost that really, really matters to me. And, you know, that's why I always say when I'm out in the field, it doesn't matter if I have made a great photograph or not. I still have to have had a great day. I have to have had a great experience. And even if that means I've been sitting in the hide all day and I haven't even pressed the shutter, I still need to have enjoyed myself and had a good experience, because that's why I do it. You know, I do it because I want to be out in nature and I want to be experiencing these things with my own eyes and with my own senses. You know, whether it's sight, sound, taste, touch, whatever it might be. So I think that's the first thing to say about nature photographers is, I can't see AI imagery ever replacing nature photography, simply for the reason that nature photographers first and foremost love being out in nature, and that we want to photograph nature. We don't want to create it in a computer. Now, that's the first part of this. Now, there may well be, let's talk about image licensing. Let's shift it up a gear for a moment. So image licensing, at the moment, that market has tanked. You can now license an image for well under a dollar from many, many stock agencies, which means there has no longer been, it's no longer been profitable to make a living, if you like, selling stock imagery. And I expect AI imagery is going to take over that market to some degree, because it isn't really a requirement from most users of stock imagery that the image is actually real. You know, if they need a photograph of an iceberg to put on the cover of a magazine or to put in a corporate annual report, it probably doesn't matter to them whether it's a real photograph or whether it was constructed with AI. They just want a nice photograph. So I think AI might take some market share there, but it's okay because there's no money in it anyway. The bottom fell out of that market long, long time ago. I think that's a very important thing to note. So it's okay if AI imagery, in my opinion, takes a share of that pie, because it's not a very tasty pie anymore, at least from my perspective, if I look at it purely with my business glasses on. I think from that perspective as well, AI is still finding its niche, and I think that will be part of its niche. It's certainly going to have, I think, almost zero impact in the fine art print world. There may well be one or two people who are happy to hang an AI generated photograph on their wall, but I think most people who are hanging nature photographs on their wall want them to be actual photographs, actual depictions of nature, things that actually happened, wildlife that really existed, and not pixels that were again created in a computer. So I think that's also an important aspect of the business side of things that's not going to be affected by AI imagery. Yes, AI imagery will create a beautiful polar bear. You can go to something like Midjourney, you can type in polar bear on ice, in snowstorm, in beautiful light, and get a very, very nice rendition of a polar bear in all those things. However, it's not real. It didn't exist. It was created in a computer. And I don't believe people want to hang that necessarily on their walls, at least not the sort of people I know who are interested in nature photography and nature images. They want to know that it's real. And certainly the people who buy my prints or have bought my prints over the years have always made the point to me that they really appreciate that this is an accurate depiction of nature and not a construct. You know, it wasn't a blend of multiple images that were put together in Photoshop or a composite of some sort, or now an AI image that's been created in something like Midjourney. So I think that's an aspect to it that is very, very important to note as well. And then there is the other side of this, which is that as photographers, whether we're full-time professional nature photographers like myself who run travel companies, or whether you are a business person or an employee of a company with just an interest in nature photography, you're interested in nature photography because you want to go and have experiences in the field, if I can be so bold as to say what your interests are. But I think you take my point. That, you know, nature photographers generally, they want to have experiences. They want to travel to the Arctic to photograph a polar bear. They want to travel to Africa to photograph a lion or whatever the case may be, wherever they might want to go to photograph whatever landscape or wildlife might be interesting to them. It's the experience that's important to them as much as coming away with a photograph is important. And therefore, that's why I think that AI imagery is going to have a very small effect on nature photography. I think it's very trendy at the moment. We're seeing the rise of AI-created imagery. And I think, like many things in photography and in imagery, there are a lot of trends and fads. We've seen this, we saw this with HDR imagery, HDR images, high dynamic range. When that first exploded on the market, for lack of a better word, it was a real trend and it was very, very popular. It has now really faded away almost into nothing, where I actually don't see many HDR images anymore that people have created in computers. There's a time and a place for it, and that's just fine. And I think there's also a time and a place for AI imagery as well. It's new, it's fashionable, it's trendy, just like a lot of aerial imagery is from drones at the moment, or has been. That's also starting to peter off a little bit now. People are becoming a little bit tired of the standard aerial drone shot. We've seen it before, and drones are now finding their niche in certain applications. I just, not to get too sidetracked by a drone conversation, but I have put off buying a drone for a very, very long time. I don't own a drone presently, but I am going to buy one this year. And it's not for what you might think it's for. It's going to be for spotting wildlife. So I want to be able to use that drone, put it up in the sky and go and search for wildlife with it rather than actually use it to take photographs. But anyway, I digress. That's not the topic of today's conversation. The topic is AI imagery and the creation of AI imagery and what impact that is going to have on specifically on nature photography. I do want to make that clear. I'm coming at this very much from the perspective of a nature photographer and not from the perspective of other genres of photography, because there will be genres of photography that are hit hard by AI imagery. And I think some of those might be commercial photography. I suspect that might get hit quite hard. Certainly wedding photography won't be, to a certain degree, portrait photography won't be either. But I think any sort of stock imagery that's required by companies or individuals out there, I certainly think AI imagery is going to have an impact in that sector. But I can't see it having a big impact in what I do. For all those reasons I've already mentioned, specifically in the print area, in the fine art print arena, I think people want to hang something real on their wall, and also specifically in the area of travel, because nature photographers want to have experiences outdoors. They don't want to sit in front of a computer and generate an AI image and call themselves a nature photographer. That's not nature photography. That's being a computer technician. And again, that's not something I want to be. That's very much why in my own photography, I have always believed, and I still do believe to this day, that a great photograph doesn't need much post-production. It's already a great photograph. If I have to sit there and do, 15, 20 minutes editing on an image to make it any good, and do multiple layers in Photoshop and all this sort of technical work, then it probably wasn't that great a photograph to begin with. And that's not really what I want to do. I do get a little bit tired of seeing multi-image composites being used to sell workshops and tours, if you like, to potential clients. I've seen this quite a lot over the years, whereby the tour leader puts out a composite photograph, doesn't declare it's a composite, and uses it to sell and market trips. I think that's very disingenuous to do that and market those trips using images that are not real, because the participants on that trip are going to want to see this sort of photograph. And if it's not real, then they're never going to have that experience. And the same applies to AI imagery. Using AI imagery to market a trip, I think, is very disingenuous. I haven't seen an example of that yet, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time until that does turn up. I'm already seeing AI imagery on things like social media and Facebook, particularly being presented as actual photographs where there's no disclosure by the person posting the image. And sometimes it can be very hard to tell. These AI created images are getting better and better. And I think they're already at the point now where a lot of the time it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to tell the difference, which means it's very, very easy to deceive potentially the viewer of the image as well. But again, as nature photographers, I think we need to have a certain level of ethics about what we do. We shouldn't really call ourselves nature photographers if we are misrepresenting nature. I feel quite strongly about that. I know not everybody does. That's my opinion on it. and I can be a bit opinionated on it, I guess. But I think I really believe it's very, very important. You know, I want people who look at my work to know this is a real photograph that was captured in the field. It represents nature. This is what transpired. And this is an actual depiction of what occurred. AI imagery is not that. It's just something that's been created in a computer. And although it can be extremely beautiful, it's not a nature photograph. And it's a very, very important distinction. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch the AI space. Clearly, the algorithms and the AI behind these images is just getting so good now that the creations are quite, literally some of them quite breathtaking that I'm seeing coming up on social media. And I think that's fantastic. It's really interesting technology. It's certainly going to have its place, but I don't think it's going to have a huge impact in the world of nature photography, at least not from my perspective. I could be wrong, but I don't think so based on that simple belief that we should be, as nature photographers, accurately representing nature and not misrepresenting nature. So that's my thoughts on AI imagery. There's been a few photographers I've seen talk about this. They've talked about what impact they believe AI imagery is going to have in the photographic space they work in. And I do believe it does vary from space to space. So if you are a wedding photographer or you're a commercial photographer or whatever, or an aerial photographer, whatever it might be, I think it's important to take a few minutes and have a think about how AI imagery might affect your space, because it is the current trend. It is going to be here for a while. It's not going to go away. So we need to learn to live with it as well. But that's the big thing. I think ultimately nature photographers want to be out in nature. And therefore they're probably not going to have too much interest in creating, creating images using AI. Things like Midjourney, et cetera. You know, especially once the shine wears off this, it's very, very new at the moment. So there's a lot of people, you know, creating accounts with these companies and having a go at it. But I suspect that will drop way off once the novelty wears off. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to be leaving for Africa now in 11 days' time. So I've got a lot to do here in the office before I leave. I haven't got anywhere near the amount of printing or processing I wanted to get done. I've got a lot of website work to do. I've got a lot of PDFs I need to create for itineraries for upcoming trips. I will be announcing very, very soon a all-new Ultimate Polar Bear Expedition. It's going to be 19 days, so 18 nights, and it's going to be up in the pack ice, north of Svalbard. So we're going to be north of the archipelago, away from all the new rules and regulations. And this is an expedition that's been designed very specifically for polar bears and polar bears. So we're basically going to spend all of our time up in the ice looking for and photographing polar bears. It's going to be very, very exciting. There have been a number of people who have expressed interest in this to me already. So if it's something you are keen on, please drop me an email, as I expect places to go very, very quickly for this. I'm not aware of anyone else who has ever offered a 19-day trip up in the pack ice for polar bears. So I'm really, really excited about that. I'm hoping I'll have the PDF for that finished. If not this week, because it's Friday today, probably by mid next week at the latest, certainly before I leave for Africa anyway. I also want to squeeze in either a podcast or a blog post on packing for Africa, because I am not just going to Africa. I'm going to Africa first, and then I'm having a week in Dubai, and then I'm going from Dubai to Alaska and up to Barrow for birds. Specifically, my target species are going to be for the Stella's eider, the spectacled eider, and the king eider, all in breeding plumage. I'm really looking forward to that. I've wanted to go up there for a very long time. So there are some challenges that come with packing for both Africa and the Arctic. And I'm going to try and do it all in the one bag, because I really don't want to have to travel with two big duffel bags. It's a real pain. So I'm hoping I can squeeze it all into one bag. I'll talk a little bit about the camera gear I'm going to take and why, and a few other bits and pieces that I'm going to take with me as well. But I think that's it for today. We'll wrap it up there. It's a beautiful day here in Melbourne today. It does feel like winter is coming. The air is cool. It's my favorite time of the year to actually be in Melbourne. We've got typically cold days with clear skies and very little wind. So beautiful weather here at the moment. So that's it for today. I'm Josh. It has been the 5th of May, 2023. Podcast number 73. I look forward to seeing you out in the field. Take care.